You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
This edition of It's My Money is brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, your partner for global wealth creation. Welcome to It's My Money. It's My Money is brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth. And Brenthurst ranked as a leading boutique wealth manager in South Africa for 7 consecutive years in the Intellidex Private Bank and Wealth Manager Award. Today I'm speaking to Johan Berger from Brenthurst Wealth, and we're going to talk about something that is very pertinent, and it's politics in South Africa, but combine that with basic investment principles. Johan, the first thing I have to ask you is, have you been incredibly busy since the political situation started to, you know, become front and center of people's minds? Are people concerned out there, your clients, that is?
Yeah, in a way, I think everybody in South Africa is a little bit concerned. I think the current elections or that took place recently will play a vital role for the next 5 years. The fact that the ANC got less than 50% will definitely change the horizon and the investment horizon in South Africa. So I think it just boils down to, in terms of what will happen now, the coalitions, what will be formed. And then there are key areas. I mean, if you take the Western Cape, the DA dominated that. So that's, in a way, a good thing from an investment point of view. But I think for major hubs like Gauteng, for example, what will take place there, the coalitions, will the ANC form, for example, of the DA, and what will follow? Obviously, a great deal of uncertainty what will happen in Natal with MK leading over 40% in that region. But yeah, I think all in all, if the right coalitions do take part, it could be a positive impact for South Africa.
Yes, again, I've said this before, I think, to one of your colleagues, that what happens is when there is a coalition, people think, oh, goodness me, it dilutes the decision-making process. But in fact, to many people's minds, it enhances the decision-making process, because it's not all one party with all one view, with one leader. You've got people coming in with different inputs, and hopefully some compromise is achieved. Now, hopefully that will happen in South Africa. They haven't got very long to do it, but anyway, we are hopeful. You make 5 points, and we can always go off script. But the first one is, Johan, with the current situation in South Africa, ANC less than 50% and a strong possibility with coalitions, how do you position yourself and how to invest in current market conditions? Now, my point is here, if you start to position yourself now, you're making a call on what will happen. So it's not a 50-50 call, but I mean, it's a call that you're making. So is it not better to wait until the result and then start to reevaluate your portfolio?
In a way, yes, I do agree with that statement. And this is something we discussed internally with Brenthurst. And just look at a couple of examples. And for the last, how many years, 10, 15 years, Brenthurst has been extremely bullish on offshore investing based on various factors, the rand weakening over time. But the major role is, if you take companies in South Africa, one, a true fact is that our offshore index is shrinking every year. So companies are leaving the All Share Index.
Yes.
Now, and if you take it on a different level, whether you take financials, resources, industrial companies, and you compare companies in South Africa to, let's say, global companies, that's the first question you must ask yourself, is to say, would I rather invest in a particular sector in South Africa or in a global market where cash flow is a lot better, a lot more stability? So irrespective of what happens with coalitions, yes, if the right coalitions do take place, we might see a strengthening of the rand. We might see a little bit of stability in South Africa, and that could be short term. All the other macro factors still exist in terms of unemployment. We still have a massive problem with electricity in South Africa, and load shedding will probably start soon again. So our outlook in terms of how you position yourself and your wealth hasn't changed. We're still bullish on offshore investments, diversification. So maybe to look just in the US. Maybe we have to broaden our horizons to look in Japan, in other areas, maybe India, growing type of countries in terms of how their stock exchanges are based on value at this point in time. But in short, our position hasn't changed. We're still bullish on offshore investments, irrespective of what the Rand could do in the short term.
So what you're really saying is it doesn't matter whether there's a bullish coalition, bearish coalition. The fact is you're still going to stick to your principles. Politics come and go, but investment trends and basic principles of investment stay the same, Johan.
Absolutely. And it boils down to the fact that nothing will give me greater pleasure to indicate to our clients, listen, South Africa is a brilliant investment destination, like it was in the late 90s, early 2000s, and we had a massive bull run and resources did well. But the fact remains, South Africa represents less than 1% of the world economy. I'm not saying South African companies can't grow. There's definitely a possibility. But once again, you have to position yourself in terms of global growth. And that's where, in future, most of the growth will take place. So that's the one aspect. And then the other aspect, because of interest rate and inflation differentials, the Rand should weaken over time. And yes, there will be periods where there might be strengthening over time, and the timing aspect can play a vital role. But long term, if you're looking for long term growth, the Rand should weaken based on those factors.
Yes, I mean, it's an irrevocable fact, actually, and it has done. I mean, I lived in South Africa for nearly three decades, and every single year, wealth was eroded by the weakness in the Rand. It's very simple, unless, of course, you have a portfolio which is positioned in such a way that you can ameliorate the Rand's weakness. Anyway, that's another story. Point number two you make, inflation and interest rates globally are still high. What are the key things to do first in this environment? Again, I'll challenge you on this one, because we've had Switzerland, Sweden, Canada, one of the big countries, and the ECB, massive, massive investment and economic bloc, also cutting rates. So you say that rates are high. Yes, they are, but they're coming down. So what do? You say, well, rates are high, so I position my portfolio because they're high, or do I say, I'm going to anticipate that these rates are going to continue to come down, given what I've seen in the last few weeks?
Absolutely. I think we've reached the ceiling from a global point of view. If we take from a South African point of view, I think everybody is basically on their knees. The latest rate announcement was unchanged. So I think going forward in South Africa, it will either remain unchanged or it will come down. But in terms of, let's say, advice or tips to do in the short term, once again, a lot of investment and advice are based on a client's personal circumstances and very importantly, their risk profile. But for people with a lot of debt, and I'm referring to bad debt, like credit cards,
yes,
motor vehicles, all of that with high interest rates, try and pay that off as soon as possible. You guarantee that interest rate, what you're paying, as a return on your investment. So that's the first thing I would do. If you're in the more conservative bracket and you want to invest offshore, bond yields are quite attractive based on where interest rates are currently offshore. So you can get a fairly good yield without taking too much risk. So in short, still position yourself to have global exposure. But if you have a great deal of bad debt, try and pay that off as quick as possible and invest. Because in a way, as I said, it guarantees you a certain return with current interest rates.
Very good advice. Point number three you make. Brentus has a division in Mauritius, and we've spoken about this many times. Oh, I have with your colleagues anyway. And you know, it sets up offshore trust. Why and for what type of investor is that suitable? You obviously did it because there was a demand for your services. Tell us more, please.
Yeah, I think just one step back. I think myself and Magnus, everybody within Brentus, we talk a lot about Mauritius. There might be the perception that we directly invest in Mauritius, whether it's their stock exchange? And the answer is that's not true. We actually use Mauritius, let's call it as a destination, because they have brilliant structures from a tax point of view, setting up of companies, trust capital. A separate division of branches that we can help with is if certain South Africans are looking for property in Mauritius. And all this boils down to why would we advise something like that? One, Mauritius is quite close to South Africa. It's a 3.5-4-hour flight. It's clean from a security point of view. And it has that South African feeling because a lot of companies are being set up, South African companies are being set up in Mauritius. But to answer your question, why trust structures? This is more for the wealthy individuals to protect their capital. So firstly, one, you never have to bring that money back to South Africa. My next point is a little bit, there will be uncertainty about this statement. There are columns or articles being written about this, but will South Africans be forced to bring back their offshore money back to South Africa? So putting it in a trust protects you from that aspect. We still live in Africa. We don't know what the government will do, but that will protect you. Trust capital, if you put it in a correct structure, can basically, from a estate planning point of view and also from a tax point of view, can save you a great deal of money. Is there a cost implication? Yes, that's the case with normal trust money in South Africa as well. So yeah, this is for the wealthy individuals to preserve their capital and, more importantly, to protect their capital wealth from aspects that we can control as individuals.
Point number four is an interesting one. You talk about giving advice to young adults for growing wealth over time and also to preserve wealth. One of the saddest things I think about South Africa is that the youth want to leave. And there is such potential in all stratas of society in South Africa, in all colours, all creeds. You see that people really, really want to work and they really, really want to be educated and they're being let down. But for those young people that have managed to do well and have a bit of money to invest, what do you say to them?
Yeah, so I always use the example, what is the best way to invest for young people? The best way to invest is to pay yourself first. We all have a budget. We all have a certain standard of living. And obviously, it differs from person to person. But I always use the example, if you earn 100 rand, for example, per month, and you have X amount of things to pay on a monthly basis, you're going to pay those things and you're going to live life. But if you change your mindset and say, I have 100 rand, I'm going to invest, let's call it 15 or 20% of that capital, put that aside. See that as an expense in my personal balance sheet. And then you do the rest and you live your life. If you can do that for a long period of time, that's how you create wealth. So that's one aspect. Pay yourself first by means of investment. The second biggest mistake young adults are doing, they don't invest aggressively enough. So they might be scared about market volatility, so they will put their money in a money market account and hoping that will generate wealth over time. You need equity exposure, let's call it companies or share exposure, that will create growth over time. And if you look at the history over the last 100 years, whether it's South Africa, whether it's from a global point of view, the growth, yes, you will experience volatility. However, the growth is a lot better than safe investments like, let's call it, bond exposure or money market return. So quick recap. Pay yourself first and invest aggressively over time, and that will generate capital growth.
Everything that you predict at Brentos Wealth and everything that I predict on my podcasts and all my guests predict as well, they can all go out the window because of major life events, as you call them in your point number five. I mean, you can't predict a marriage. Well, you sort of can, but you can't predict some sort of natural event that blows the roof off your house, so you have to pay for that as well because your policy or insurance policy doesn't cover everything. You see what I mean? You want to buy a new house, and so you've got these events that are lurking in the background, Jan, and you have to put, I suppose, have to put some money aside in a sort of a special emergency fund, as I would call it.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, in my previous example, I talked about how to generate growth over time. And by doing that, you invest aggressively, and irrespective of whether it's a bull market, a bear market, you can experience volatility with that capital at any given time. And the longer the time period, if you look at a graph, you will see the risk is getting less and less as time passes. But with short-term events like a marriage or, let's say, college for your kids, that refers to a more, let's say, smaller or, let's say, a shorter time horizon. So with that particular case, is you don't want to invest aggressively. You want to know almost if I need X amount in a year's time, I don't want to experience volatility. So in that particular case, put aside a portion of that capital that you know you're going to need in a year's time and 2 years' time. The other aspect that is vitally important, liquidity. So make sure you put it in a particular investment vehicle where you can get access to that capital at any given time. Yes, you might forego a little bit of growth if it was a fantastic year, but at least you know you have access to the capital, and irrespective of what happens in the markets or in the world, you will not experience volatility, and you will have that correct amount when you need to pay for, let's call it, that emergency.
So, for example, a short-term money market fund where at the end of the month you can get it out, you know you can get it out, whereas if you say, oh, no, I don't want that, I'll put it all in the stock market, and you get out of the shares that you need to get out of in order to pay for one of these events, it attracts a certain tax treatment, doesn't it, like capital gains tax, for example. So, yes, very, very good advice, Johan. And it was a great chat. And again, great advice as usual from you. That was Johan Berger from Brenthurst Wealth. And that was It's My Money. It's My Money was brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, an award-winning boutique wealth management company.